Again, welcome to the 15th annual Schertz Lectureship. Thank you all for attending and coming to hear my lecture. I truly, truly felt honored and privileged to be invited to be a speaker. Schertz, although I'm at West Laurel Street congregation worshiping now, Schertz is always a second home for me. It's nice to look out in the audience and see so many friends and loving faces and smiles. And just, again, I'm just overwhelmed with joy to be back. What am I going to do now? I don't know where to turn. Why, God? Why is this happening to me? My mom died of breast cancer 6 months ago. I miss her so much. Grieving is so hard. I can't believe people at work are treating me like this. I feel so disrespected. Breast cancer. I can't believe I've been diagnosed with breast cancer. I just pray to God that the treatments and the chemotherapy will cure me. My husband lost his job. I don't know how we're going to pay the bills. Do any of these sentiments or scenarios sound familiar to you? These are some examples of reactions to the problems that we can encounter in life. Throughout the years, I've certainly been subject to personal struggles, and I felt very fortunate to have been assigned this topic of comfort in the Lord, because I feel that it caused me to look deep within myself, to recall and remember and reflect on how I overcame certain circumstances. My profession, as Jennifer mentioned, is a medical provider, research scientist, and also I have a doctorate. But what many of you don't know is that I've personally struggled with anxiety and panic attacks. And I only mention that background because I feel that it gives me a certain perspective and insight into the subject matter of comfort in the Lord that I think can be very beneficial to you as the audience. I'm very, very passionate about mental health, and I feel this assignment is in line with practical ways to cope. Let's start out by defining the word comfort. The dictionary defines comfort as a state of ease to soothe, console, and relieve affliction. It's also important to note that discomfort is a natural physiological, psychological, and behavioral response to an actual or potential threat. Common areas of discomfort include physical, emotional, and spiritual issues. Fortunately, our mighty God provides comfort to us through His Word that can mitigate those threats. The Bible should be our primary resource for times of discomfort. The aim of this lecture this afternoon is to illustrate comfort in the Lord in select verses and Psalms. Psalms is a wonderful, wonderful book of praise to our holy God, written as hymns and poems, that has a number of verses illustrating examples on how the Lord can ease, can soothe, relieve affliction, and console us. For the purpose of this lecture, we'll limit the discussion of comfort derived from God's holy word in relationship to psychological states of discouragement, worries, and persecution. Please refer to the manual in the lectureship book this year, my manuscript in the lectureship book this year for further discussions on other states. Allowing yourself to be comforted calls for you to make a change in your thought process, with a step approach in somewhat of a cyclical work. Please refer to your handout. There's a model that I put together, and it's an efficient process, not meant to be legalistic, not at all, but it's just a mere suggestion, and it reads as follows: read, examine, internalize, apply, reflect, and revise. Read. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the New King James Version, it reads, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We're told to examine the word. We need to examine ourselves and the word and how it can apply in our lives. 2 Corinthians 13:5, also New King James Version, reads, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" After which, internalize those scriptures. Apply those scriptures to your daily lives within the proper context. And then reflect on the effectiveness of those efforts. Lamentations 3:4, New King James Version, reads, "Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord." Finally, once you've delved into the scripture, you've realized what is applicable to your situation, make revisions according to God's counsel found throughout a searching those applicable scriptures. Acts 17:11 reads, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." Let me stop to make a statement. It's prudent to mention a disclaimer. While those who suffer from or suspect they suffer from a mental health condition will benefit from this study, they should always seek evaluation from a mental health care provider. The incapacity to cope with life's challenges may warrant an assessment by a qualified health care provider for physiological or psychological conditions contributing to one's state of discomfort, which could require medical attention, and possibly even treatment. Key points to remember. A righteous life does not equate to a problem-free life, ladies. On the contrary, we'll face trials, but it's with God we can endure and overcome those discouragements, worries, and persecutions. Our faith and lifestyle should reflect sound biblical principles to attain God's favor and ensure his help to combat life's tumultuous challenges. We can boldly petition for his help when we're living right. And in doing so, we can trust in God's power to alleviate the impact of those trials, no matter the magnitude. Discouragement. We're mere mortals and limited in our ability to change the things that we cannot, change the things that do not go as we have planned. Discouragement and disappointments are traps that we can fall into when we lose sight of God's might in our lives. Scriptural application is needed in times by reasoning that if God has the ability to create, he can certainly help us when we need it. That's if we're worthy in words, thoughts, and deeds. David, king of Israel, authored some of Psalms, as you know, and there were times that David was known to have sinned, but he acknowledged his sin and repented. He is commonly referred to a man after God's heart, 1 Samuel 13:4. David is a very important figure. Jesus Christ is a descendant. And he had numerous difficulties throughout his life that could have left him feeling discouraged had he let it. In Psalms 40:1-2, we see that while David is suffering through trials, he waits faithfully and patiently for the Lord to bring him out of the pit and put a newness in him. In Psalms 40:3-4, David praises God and trusts him because he knows those who trust in God and avoid the unrighteous and falsehoods will be blessed. Psalms 40:4-8 goes on to talk about, as a result of that, those blessings come in multitude for those who are faithful. God didn't require or even desire a sacrifice or offering in return. But what he did ask is that David do his will while keeping the Lord's law in his heart. The lesson here is that rejoicing in God despite those disappointments and discouragements alleviates discomfort. Psalms 34:8, New King James Version reads, "Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." It's human nature to get disappointed, but we must trust God. In doing so, we will be richly blessed. There's no need to have fear or dread when it comes to threats to our spiritual, physical, and emotional status if we trust God and do his will. Turn to the back of your handout. An example is Samantha. Samantha and Ron, a couple, are undergoing fertility treatments. And if anybody knows anything about fertility treatments, it can be very, very stressful. They have had hopeful expectations, but unfortunately, month after month, they consistently have negative pregnancy test results. They've went through that process of feeling discouraged, disappointed, let down. But when they got into that word and read the word, examined it, internalized those scriptures and applied them, and reflected on how their attitude transitioned as they examined the word, they revised those feelings of negativity and disappointment and felt a sense of comfort. They began to praise God and trust in his will for them, for a family, in order to maintain that comfort in their lives throughout the undergoing fertility treatments. Another example is Jennifer. Jennifer is a working mother. She's struggling, juggling a job and taking care of her family at home. Family doesn't appreciate her. Kids act out. Husband is ungrateful. The boss gives her a hard time. That can cause anybody to feel discouragement. But Jennifer, thanks God, focused on doing God's will. She got into that scripture, read it, examined it, internalized it, applied it, reflected and revised her thinking. And fortunately, it also helped her remain faithful and thus cause her to feel a sense of comfort. Worry. Psalms 46 teaches us not to worry and trust in God. Psalms 46:1-2 tells us that one should not have fear during troublesome times because God is our refuge and strength and he will help us. Psalms 46:2-5 gives a very descriptive imagery of the devastation that can take place in our lives when we don't trust in God. And it emphasized that despite the magnitude of life's worrisome circumstances, we should have the peace of mind and confidence that God will always be by our side. Psalms 46:10-11 tells us to be still and know and recognize who God is and his power during distress. It goes on to remind us God is with us in these instances and a true shelter and refuge from all storms. We must get out of the habit of worrying and pray. Sometimes that's a lot easier said than done. I can attest to that. But when we focus on gratitude and exercise patience versus anxieties and trying to enforce our will over God's will, everything falls into order. Philippians 4:6, New King James Version, reads, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Also, ladies, we need to wait. We need to wait for the Lord to direct our path. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, New King James Version, reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path." The lesson is, as adults, we wear many hats in our lives. We're parents, adult children, spouses, employees, leaders, subordinates, etc. And with each of these roles comes responsibilities. These responsibilities can take a toll on us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And sometimes we can let worry and anxieties get the best of us when we try to take control. But if we're still and recognize that in the chaos of it all, God has supreme power, we can experience comfort and peace. Again, fear and dread can be replaced with peace of mind and confidence that God's power will be sufficient to shelter us. Psalms 55:22 tells us to cast our cares on him and allow him to help us. By doing so, we demonstrate that we truly rely on God's will during times of distress. Ruminating and obsessing over tribulations makes attainment of comfort far from reach. Joshua 1:8 tells us to meditate on God's word and do what is written. Now, applying this scripture to our lives helps shield us from intrusive thoughts of doubt in God's mercy and grace. When we allow and foster negative thoughts during trials, it can lead us to question God and fear he will leave us. Another practical coping skill is found in 1 Corinthians 5:11-13. It tells us to remove ourselves from sinful people, places, and circumstances and engulf yourself in the fellowship with the godly. Psalms 121:1-8 gets straight to the heart of the matter, and that our help comes from the Lord and that he will not allow harm to come to us. It goes on to add that God will keep and protect us without ceasing day and night forever. Having faith and patience that God's will is best, the best course for our life, should arrest any worry or anxiety over our current or future dire circumstances. The preacher Melvin Sapp makes an excellent point concerning Psalms 121, putting things in total perspective. If our Creator controls the universe, believe me, he's well capable of helping us in times of need. With that being said, God will specifically help us in areas of psychological distress. Nothing's too complex or grave for him to render aid at any time. For example, on your handout, Mary here is facing a layoff from her job. Everyone in her department is being let go one by one, and she's petrified that she's next. She stays up day and night in just fretting over the fact that she may get that pink slip next. But her loving sister in Christ comes to her and emphasizes and shows compassion, reminding her by reading the word of God and telling her to trust in God and cast your cares on him and pray. Mary lost her job. But when she read the word for herself, examined the word in her heart, internalized what the scripture was really trying to say, and applied it to her life, and reflected on those actions and revised any sort of negative thoughts that she was thinking to be more reflective on what God wants for her, she found comfort in knowing God's power is mightier than this situation. Persecution. We read in Psalms 9, King David's hymn of praise and thanksgiving for the Lord giving him victory over enemy nations. David maintained his hope despite numerous persecutions from enemies, and God did deliver judgment against the wicked. Psalms 9, verse 2 specifically tells us that in the wake of trials, David felt assured. He felt assured that he could have gladness and rejoice in the Lord. And at all times he praised God's holy name and trusted in the Lord. Here we go. Once again, we see in Psalms 9:9 that when we trust in the Lord, he's our refuge. And he can protect us from oppression and help deliver us when we experience times of trouble. And upon further examination, we can draw from this chapter that despite the poorest circumstances, God will prevail over our enemies. But we must remain faithful and hopeful in him and his power that he will deliver us from that persecution and opposition. Oftentimes, it's unfortunate, but some people turn away from God in times of trouble. They find ways to cope and comfort themselves by engaging in high-risk behaviors that are sometimes sinful, unhealthy, and unsafe, such as drug and alcohol use, immoral relationships, and preoccupation with things that take us away from God. Just keep in mind, Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin will lead to death. We can apply the teachings of Psalms 9 by verbalizing thanksgiving for the Lord's hand in our lives, calling on God in prayer and living righteous despite your bad circumstances. Exercising these applications in fair and times of bleak despair will provide sustaining comfort to you. Our last example on your handout on the back is Melissa. Melissa has coworkers that engage in office politics, gossip, and try to get her involved every time she turns around and constantly mistreating her. But she manages to leave work daily victorious because she knows that God will deliver judgment against the wicked and maintains a godly attitude because she's constantly reading the word. She's constantly examining, internalizing, applying those scriptures to her lives when she faces persecution at work. And she reflects on her reactions to that negativity. And then she revises her behavior if need be. In conclusion, this book of praise to our holy God has many practical and salient lessons that we should take to heart. Psalms teaches us that we can find comfort in the Lord. Most notably, our faith and lifestyle should reflect sound biblical principles to attain God's favor and ensure his help to combat life's trials. There will always be problems, but with God, we can endure and overcome grief, disappointment, discouragement, persecution, opposition, worry, and fear. Our purpose, however, needs to be in alignment with God's will and should be manifested in accordance to his commandments as outlined in the word. Otherwise, we will face judgment. We can boldly petition for help when we are living right, and as a result, have confidence in God's power to mitigate the impact of the trials, no matter the magnitude. Keep in mind, we're allotted limited days in life, and we should spend it focusing on gratitude for the Lord's presence, power, protection, and blessings in our lives to find comfort. If you've mastered these teachings, or it was never a struggle for you to begin with, great, good for you. But Don't be judgmental or self-righteous or put another sister down because she is struggling with the battle of the mind. Be a comfort. Be compassionate. Have love and empathy. Help your sisters. I ask you, sisters, please read the Word of God. Examine it and yourself. Internalize those scriptures. Apply them to your lives within the proper context. And then reflect on the effectiveness of your efforts. And finally, make revisions accordingly based on God's counsel through searching applicable scriptures. Sisters, thank you. The lesson is yours.